This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop real faith for the real world. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
Today we begin a series called the Sane Living Series, and upon much reflection, I've called this the Sane Living Series because the world is crazy. The world is nuts out there, and in order for us to be maintaining ourselves, we have to kind of find sanity and find out the definition of sanity and then kind of live that out in our life, you know. To be a thoroughly crazy person, you have to completely lose touch with reality and operate as though your alternate or fictitious reality is true. To be thoroughly crazy, you have to lose completely the touch with reality. So, and of course, we are people who live in the kingdom of God. We've been brought in by the blood of Jesus. We've been redeemed and brought to Him. And so we have our own sort of alternative reality. We recognize the world around us. So we have to consider our own selves crazy in some sense, because we're living in this alternate reality, which we call the kingdom of God. And it's diametrically opposed to everything that's happening in the world. And so that's a little bit of a struggle for us. But our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. I'm going to read a number of stories, teachings of Jesus. These are sort of a cluster of Jesus' teaching in what we know as the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. And Part of being crazy is that we listen to Jesus' teachings. Some people listen to them and don't do them. Some people listen to them and build their life upon them. That makes you even nuttier than the average Joe. Because the world, this nutty world, this crazy world that we live in, demands that we find sanity somewhere. As Christians, we find sanity in the teachings of Jesus. And then that begins to redefine our lives so that what the world thinks is crazy, we understand is sane. And what they think is normal, we think is nuts. Right? So how many of you understand what I'm trying to say here this morning? Okay, good. Well, praise the Lord. It's a miracle. And so Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus is teaching and He says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had as its foundation the rock. On everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." And when Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he's taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The world we live in is a disposable world. It's all about superficiality, what's on the outside of us. And we spend a lot of time looking at the externals in our life, don't we? When we look at this, we see that The superficial world is based upon illusions. We recognize that for some people it's really impressive if you're drinking Starbucks coffee, but not so much if you're drinking Folgers, right? Anybody been impressed by Folgers? Chase and Sanborn, See, people aren't really normally impressed by those coffees. Anybody impressed by generic coffee? Do they still make generic coffee? I don't think they make generic coffee. I think they just give it another name. It's like Star
Mugs.
Yeah. Almost Starbucks, but not Starbucks wannabe. So is your coffee a Starbucks? Is your purse a Gucci? Is your car impressive and trendy and flashy? Does it have... Now, there's nothing wrong with having impressive things or buying quality things, but so much in our world depends upon this external illusion that we put out in front of people. Image is everything. Remember the commercial that said, never let them see you sweat? Yeah. Interesting commercial for a deodorant, right? Because you would think that deodorant would say, use our product and you'll never sweat. But that's not what it said. It said, never let them see you sweat. In other words, you're going to sweat. We're all going to go through trying times and go through difficult times. All of us are going to sweat, but don't let them see you sweat because the illusion of dryness is the illusion of coolness. Right? You look cool when really you're freaking out on the inside. And our product will keep you dry, so that you can keep the illusion going. Think of it. That's an interesting concept because it seems it's almost as if it's saying that our product doesn't work. Right? That's what it seems to me. Image is everything. Now, it's not wrong to be trendy, but it's dangerous to challenge your allegiance to all the things that are true and right and good by your allegiance to the things that are trendy and superficial. This illusion. A superficial world is made up of disposable junk. After all, the people who bought those 25 billion hamburgers, could they possibly be wrong? Those 25 billion hamburgers, you know the 25 billion ones I'm talking about? The McBurgers? You get that? Could they possibly be wrong? Isn't it interesting, the advertisement that McDonald's puts up there on their sign is that we've served billions of these things, right? We've served billions of these hamburgers. And so therefore, since we've served billions of them, they must be good, right? Isn't that the logic? So that seems to me, it's all based on the external. See, junk is all around us. We have junk appliances. Have you noticed this, that your vacuum cleaner is only designed to last for 1 year? How many of you bought a vacuum cleaner in the last 2 years? Raise your hand. Yeah, they're making a lot of money out. They used to make vacuum cleaners with steel gears on the inside. But the problem, Electrolux did, right? They made great vacuum cleaners, steel gears on the inside. But the problem was they lasted for a long, long time. You only had to buy two of them in your lifetime. So then they determined, oh, we could make a really great vacuum out of plastic. That way you'll have to buy dozens of them before you finally kick the bucket. And the idea there is that they sell you lesser quality. Junk is all around us. We have it all over. Look in your kitchen. You see appliances that are just junk. The other day I leaned against the stove and the knob broke. The stove knob. Now, come on, friends. If you're old enough, how many of you remember those old white, heavy iron stoves? Those things went to the junkyard with every knob intact, right? I went on the website to order the replacement plastic knob. Who thinks it costs $5? Raise your hand for that, please. $10. Raise your hand if you think it costs $10. $10? Got a couple bites on $10. Who thinks it costs $11.50? Raise your hand. No? Who thinks it costs $18.95? Raise your hand right there. No. $23.95. For one plastic knob. Take a walk through Best Buy. You'll find out this is the same darn plastic knob on every Whirlpool appliance. Oh, did I mention their name? In the store. $25. I got $100 in knobs on the front of the thing. I didn't realize I was so rich. If I wasn't so embarrassed, I would have just put a vice grips on that thing and told my wife. Somehow I don't think she would have stood for that. Used to be that people in our society, middle class people, normal, regular Joe six-pack kind of a guy, six-pack a diet, by the way, but Those guys would in their house, they would usually have one good piece of art. One good piece of art. Something that they went to an art fair or met an artist or went to some kind of place and they bought that one good piece of art. And they would have that and it would be like hanging over the couch and it would be the sort of the conversation piece. Most of us don't have one good piece of art in our house, do we? What is our house filled with? Junk art. We ordered at posters.com. We picked it up at Pier 1, courtesy of our friends overseas who are banging those things out about 100 a day. And you paid $25 and thought you got a bargain that no one will know that your art is junk. But our house is filled with junk art. We have junk relationships. We treat people as though they're disposable. So we can talk to people and they'll say without chagrin, yes, that was my fourth wife. I was watching a concert last night and the fellow was talking. He said something about his then wife. And I said, then wife? That means he divorced her, right? And then I was watching the concert and then the person I was with said, yeah, he's had five wives. Five wives. I thought, wow. Dude gets around. Five wives. And we treat each other as disposable. And we part as friends, but it's still, we treat the relationship like junk. So if we treat it like junk, then it becomes junk to us. We have junk romance. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. This is a day after Valentine's Day. Come on, junk romance. You know what I'm talking about. All that cheesy, be mine kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Junk romance, where it's just like cards that say stuff that you would never, ever say. I'm one of these guys, when I walk in to buy the card for my wife on Valentine's Day, I marvel at the amount of time other people spend on the cards. They read over them. They're reading them, actually reading the words in them. Going, that's almost, that's not exactly how I feel. Let me try another one. It's amazing to me. The people, this is a free, if you're unemployed, this is for you. You want to make $1 million? Start small. This is, you have to give me at least give the church 10%, okay? At least give the church 10%. This is my idea. I looked it up last night online to make sure no one else has done it. Macho greeting cards. Pictures of guys in camo. Dead animals on the front of the card. Dead fish. Yes, when I'm fishing, baby, I'm still thinking about you. Things like that. I'm not going to give you all the ideas, but that's a good idea right there. That there is $1 million idea. Because I'm walking around, I see hearts and flowers and two cartoon dogs kissing. I don't know what that's all about. I don't get it. And I open up, it's all schmoozy and sweet and syrupy and slippery. And I'm like, I love her, but we've been married 20-something years, you know. It's like, I don't think I need to say be mine. She is mine. Whether she likes it or not. So let's get real. This is kind of what we're talking about today, is getting real. Junk romance. We have junk sex. Last week's Evangel had an article on the hookup culture in our colleges. People dropping in and just getting down and then getting lost. Just drop, because we treat sex, a sacred thing, as though it was just junk. And that hookup culture has left us empty and suffering from sexually transmitted diseases. And we have junk religion. Religion that's been boiled down to pithy little bumper sticker sayings. Now, I don't have anything against Christian bumper stickers unless that's the depth of your Christian experience. If that's the limit of your Christian experience. And we boil this religion down to really, really shallow things, don't we? In case of the rapture, this car will be unmanned. Okay. Thanks for the warning. You know, or good ones like turn or burn. You know, really great bumper stickers that it creeps into the deepest parts of our heart where the superficiality it keeps things out away from our heart. Junk is fast. Junk is cheap. Junk is trivial. Junk is disposable. The superficial world contrasts with what really is important in our life. In the same way that Jesus, in this discussion in Matthew chapter 7, contrasts two different things. He talks about a couple different sets of two. First, he says that there are two kinds of prophets. Verse 15 says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing." In other words, the superficial looks good, right? It all looks good, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you'll recognize them. Then he says there are people who are miracle workers. And they look good because they cast out demons in his name and because they do great miracles in his name. But Jesus says on the inside, when you get beyond the superficial, they don't even really know him. Then you see Jesus tells us about these guys who are building their house, and this guy's house is just right next to this guy's house, and it just looks nice because they both have a house, and that's the American dream. Until the storm comes in. And one house, the house built upon the rock, stays, but the house built upon the sand is suddenly revealed for what it is. Now, don't tell my neighbors, but the house that my neighbors live in used to be the chicken coop for my house. My house used to be a farmhouse here in Berwyn. And so my neighbor's house used to be my chicken coop. Not mine, but my former owners of the house. Somehow that gives me great pride. I feel like a land baron. Yeah. Oh, the people in the chicken coop? Well, they built on, you know. But that building has no foundation. Not long after we moved in, my dog started bringing treats to the back door. They were rats. Nice, big rats. Good dog. He would go along the foundation area of their house. Rick helped me with this. The then owners spoke only Spanish, and I could only come up with Rato El Bato. And so Rick came over and helped. But the dog would every day just like sometime, you know, he's digging underneath their house. Their house had no foundation. And so their house had no foundation, the rats decided to burrow underneath the house and found a cozy place to winter. And my dogs would come all spring and bring a rat. Oh, a blessed treat. Right to the back door. It's like, don't bring that in the house. Yeah, just drop it right there. Daddy said drop it right there. So the rats are coming to the back door via the dog. And we realized that something has to change. You see, the house looked okay, but unfortunately, the people who bought the house didn't check it out to find out, or didn't care enough to check it out, to find out that there's a problem with the foundation beneath. It reminds me of this parable of Jesus, because someday a wind and a storm is going to come in and blow my chicken coop right off the block. But my house will still be there because of the foundation. Jesus says two things can look the same. Two prophets can look the same. Two miracle workers can look the same. Two houses can look the same. But it'll be revealed through tough circumstances what they really are made of. It's fruit. It's judgment. It's storms that reveal the difference between similar looking items. Right? Some of you people this winter, you thought, well, you know, that battery in my car is 6 years old, but bless the Lord, it starts every day. And it did start every day until it got cold, until your oil was as thick as the concrete that you were walking on. And then as you began to crank that, the battery revealed that though it sounded okay, it was no longer okay. It revealed the weakness on the inside of it. See, tough times, difficult circumstances, the fruit, the judgment, the storms is what reveals the difference between the two. Now, my wife is homesick today, but you need to imagine that she's up here, because this next portion of my message is all about quality. And I challenged her yesterday. I said, could you make a pie from scratch in 20 minutes? And she boastfully, pridefully said she could. Now, all of a sudden this morning, she's not feeling good. She can't do it. So I'm going to make room over here for her imaginary table. This would be where Cindy would be making her quality pie. Quality. Ready? Go. Right now, she's making the dough out of flour and water and butter and salt and something else. Lard, maybe, yeast. I don't know what she's making. If I could do it, I'd do it myself. Don't need her. Anyway, so I do need her because I don't know how to do it. It's obvious. So sort of a confession of my own need. So she's making this crust over here. Imagine her. She's getting messy over here. Quality takes time. You can't get instant quality. No such thing as instant quality. We've forgotten that. How many of you ever been dissatisfied with a fast food meal? Raise your hand if you've ever been dissatisfied. It's unanimous. Yeah, there it is. We all agreed on something. Yeah. Why does it smell better than it tastes? Something's wrong with that. If you drive through McDonald's, I don't mean to be picking on Mickey D's, but if you drive through McDonald's, man, it smells so good. But when you get done eating it, it doesn't feel right. Right? I know some of you are heading here right after this message. I understand that. I'm just warning you. Quality takes time. It takes time. I mean, it doesn't make a difference if you're talking about homemade pie or religion or you're talking about romance or you're talking about relationship. All this, I met him and I could tell from the second I met him, he was the one. Okay, grow up. This ain't the seventh grade. It takes time. You don't even know what a warpo he is. You got to find out what's really going on in his head. There's nothing instant. And even in our faith, we sometimes want instant quality, right? I realize it took me dozens of years to become a really proficient sinner. I had to get good at it. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, you had to, you know, anybody can sin and get caught, but if you can sin and keep it secret, oh, you're getting good. You know, where nobody but you and God and Satan know, the three of you. And know what's going on in your life. And it took me to really be a quality sinner took me some time, but somehow we think that we come to the altar and Jesus comes swinging in on a wire, sprinkles, you know, a little instant holiness dust all over us and flies right out the other side, and we think, there he is, he's perfect. Well, he's not. He's still a warpo. He's just going to heaven. Right? I've seen perverts come in here and get saved. And you know what? We're saved perverts. Right? It's true. Their head has to change. Their mind has to change. So what happens? You have to change your thinking. That happens slowly. I resent that. Because I like things that happen quickly. But they happen slowly. Painfully. Arduously. Lots of labor involved. You know, it's more like working out than it is like anything else. I hate working out. Don't you hate working out?
Yes.
Come on, I don't even have to ask you, some of you, the question if you hate working out. Oh, yeah, I'm talking to you. Oh, I love working out. Hey. You know, no, you don't, you liar. Let's not even go down that road. Just Selah, let the Lord reveal that to you personally. Real change takes time. Being a mature Christian takes time. Reading takes time. You could slip this Bible under your pillow. You don't get nothing from that. Except a Bible with all bent up pages. You have to pray. You have to wear out the knees in your pants. You have to weep before the Lord. You have to spend time to listen to him. You know, this is a danger of some of the more mature Christians. We rapid fire our prayer to God because we're squeezing it in. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Squeezing our prayer in, and then we don't listen to him. Yeah. If you don't spend time listening to him, that's not good. It's like me running through the kitchen going, honey, I need you to take the dry cleaners to the dry cleaner, and I need you to do this and wash my socks. And whatever happened to my black socks? Has anybody ever seen my black socks? And what happened to my suit coat? And I got to go. I'm going to work. Well, that's not a relationship. My wife will be quick to tell you. She wants me to stop and listen to her, to hear her heart. And so when I recognize that that takes time, I also recognize that my relationship with God takes time. So reading and praying and listening to God and hearing God and taking time all requires a bit of suffering on my part. Just being in church is suffering sometimes. Oh, we pad the pew so you wouldn't have to suffer too bad. But realistically, come on. You're like, come on, Pastor Dave, get to the meat of this thing. Where are you going with this thing? Come on. Been saved for 6,000 years. Get going. Come on, I know what it's like. I know. Quality takes time. Sometimes things going slow is the death of your flesh. Sometimes that need for patience is the death of your flesh. Isn't that awesome? How you doing, honey, on that pie? Oh, look, she's got the crust made already. And isn't it beautiful? She put a little lattice work on the top of that to really demonstrate how good it is. You can tell my wife I had an imaginary wife in church with me this Sunday. Quality costs. See, the ingredients that Invisible Cindy is putting in the invisible pie are quality ingredients. She's not going out and getting a can of stuff. She's peeling the apples right now as I'm imaginarily looking at her. Peeling the apples. Oh, my wife can peel apples. Brother, it's amazing. I'm not kidding around. That girl can peel some apples. We used to go up and pick apples in the fall, and she would say, here, you do one. And I would be like, oh, okay, you know, and like, ow, I cut myself and all kinds of stuff. And then I'd look over and she got a whole bowl of them already done. That girl, she can peel an apple like nobody I ever saw in my life. It's like witchcraft. It's so fast. Hence the confidence that she could make this pie in 20 minutes or less. So she's whipping out these apples over there and just slicing them all up, you know. Have you ever noticed, you ever watch Cooking Channel? Yeah. You ever watch Cooking Channel when you're fasting? What, are you nuts? Just thought I'd ask. Okay, so you ever watch a Cooking Channel and they tell you how you can make this recipe, right? And what do they do? They have, like if imaginary Cindy was real Cindy, and I wouldn't have pre-measured little bowls with just the right amount of cinnamon in it. That's cheating. Nobody's coming in your kitchen and pre-measuring all the stuff. So all you got to do is a little bit of this and a little bit of that and one of these and one of those and all. You know, that's not how it works. You got to go over to the cupboard. You got to find it in the pantry. I know I had cinnamon here last Christmas when I made whatever, right? 20 minutes later, you come out of there with cinnamon. Like, oh, thank God, you know. Stuff's burning on the stove, but you got your cinnamon. Digging through the junk drawer trying to find the teaspoon measurer, right? Right, trying to find that little device because you use that so often. So now you're mixing that stuff up, and as you're doing that, you realize this is not as easy as it looks on TV. Even on the cooking shows where they're telling you shouldn't go get all that fast food stuff, you should make it at home. Even then, they're lying to you and saying that it's much easier than it really is. Quality takes time, and quality costs. Sometimes when I can't find anything else better to do, my wife will drag me along as we go through Penzi's spice store. Gentlemen, find something to keep yourself busy so you don't end up walking through the spice store. Oh, it smells wonderful, but who cares? Quality costs. I have a choice. Today, my wife is homesick, so she can't be here. That's why we have Invisible Cindy with us. But I have a choice. I can run by McDonald's and get a number one. It's $5.49. Sinful that I know that. And it's so wrong that I know that. And so you could get a number one, okay, and that's a quarter pound of beef and a ham and a burger and a bun and some pickles and ketchup and some other various sundry condiments, and then and a fry and a diet. Yeah, it's a diet. I can get that. Or I could go to Jewel and buy a pub burger. How many of you? Come on, yeah. You can see who's eating lunch with me. Now, if you haven't had a pub burger from Jewel, you need to go get you one of these. Because they will coat that thing with garlic. And it's like 1,000,000 pounds. I know it's big. It's a big burger. Much bigger than the one that they're going to give you over Mickey D's. And I seem to be on Mickey D's, but you know, I guess I am. So, but I could get that. Those are $2 a piece, which is pretty expensive as far as hamburgers go, but it's good, pretty good quality meat. And I could buy that for $2, add in a bun, some condiments, which I probably already have in my refrigerator at home, one potato, hand slice it, throw it in some oil. Yes, it will take me a little bit more time, but I want to tell you, that will be one kicking burger. Well, some people are getting hungry around here, huh? It's obviously the smell of Invisible Cindy's pie. She has now sliced the apples, and she is mixing them in with a little bit of sugar, a little bit of lemon juice in there, and I think there's some cinnamon in there, and she's hand turning it, getting ready to put it into the pie, a homemade pie crust. Mm. She said, well, how are we going to cook it? When I was running this by her earlier in the week, she said, how are we going to cook this? I said, well, you're not going to cook it. We're going to bring it home after service. Then we're going to eat it there. See, then all the ingredients would be a write-off for my job. Oh, because quality costs, you got to find a way to write it off on your taxes. So it costs you not just financially, it costs you in labor, it costs you in time, it costs you in shopping for the right ingredients. You know, you got to find exactly the right stuff. You can't just mix stuff together like I do. And somehow when we get saved, we think that being a quality Christian is somehow different than that. It costs you in time. It costs you in sacrifice and giving up your own time and laboring to try to grow and draw yourself closer to the Lord. Quality is significant and it is meaningful. You see, I could, and this is the part that I thought was going to be the really catchy part of this message. She was going to by now have the lattice work done on the top of that pie and be dusting her hands off and taking off the little apron and going back and sitting to her seat. And there would be a beautiful masterpiece of a pie. Can you see it?
Yes.
Some of you can taste it. I know. It's beautiful. It hasn't been cooked yet, but it's beautiful. And then I was going to reach in here and pull out a McDonald's pie. If I stop by your house and I say, here you go, and I give you the homemade pie, that's not trivial. That's significance. And all my love, all my labor, all my sacrifice of time and energy to make that pie, I've dropped it by your house and I said, I love you. I care about you. And so I'm giving you this. And you are blessed. I swing by your house this afternoon and drop off a McDonald's pie. Not so much. You're like, what's up? This is the best you could do? Couldn't even get me a Hostess? What, you couldn't eat it? You bought too much for yourself? That's what you're thinking, right? It's not as meaningful because you didn't hand make it. You didn't put all the love in it. You didn't go to the extra expense and energy. The McPie somehow doesn't equal the homemade pie. Even if you bought lots of McPies and put them in a circle, in some earthenware beautiful thing, wouldn't be the same because the love, the energy, the quality isn't there. Well, I'm going to miss that pie later on this afternoon. As gifts go, that homemade pie is a great gift. I'll be home between 3 and 4 this afternoon if you want to drop one by. It's significant because it's rare. People aren't swinging by your house to drop off homemade pies anymore because they're busy. They've been at work all week and they're not doing that stuff anymore. But you have sacrificed to give that thing. The final thing is quality lasts. And my notes say here, rub stomach. Quality lasts. Are you thinking that I did this? I don't make food good enough to create this. My wife has done this to me. Pray for me. Pray for me. She has done this to me. She cooks high quality meals and gives them to me. When there's stuff left over, she leaves them right there in her fridge where I could see them. It's not right. Quality takes time. Quality costs. Quality is significant and meaningful, and quality lasts. So let's talk about what it means to get rid of the superficial life and grab a hold of authenticity, real authenticity, real quickly. Real Christ followers speak authentically. If we're going to get away from superficial Christianity, real Christ followers speak authentically. I don't mean they just don't lie, but lying's bad. We all agree with that because God has got a truth, and if we lie, then we offend the God of truth. But we don't not just lie, but we don't hide behind spiritual speak. Oh, Christians are good for this. Hey, I didn't see you the other day. You said you were going to stop by. Oh, yeah, I was praying about it. I didn't feel led. Yeah, that's spiritual speak. You know, you said you were going to pick this up from the store for me, but you didn't. You know what? I was going to. But then just felt a check in my spirit. Check in your spirit. Check's in the mail. See, we Christians, we sometimes mask our dishonesty with superficial spiritual answers, but real, authentic Christians say, hey, you know what? I forgot. I never forget. One gal comes up to me, she says, Pastor, thank you so much for praying for me because the Lord just touched me and I'm better. And I thought to myself, girl, I did not pray for you. I forgot. Just didn't have the courage. Oh, come on, you do it too. Oh, judgers. I wanted to say, girl, I forgot, but I didn't have the guts. I don't want to say, well, I'm glad you're up and walking around. Now I'm humiliated. But I have changed my life. When you say, hey, Pastor, will you pray for me? If you call me on the phone, hey, Pastor, will you pray for me? I pray for you immediately as I'm hanging the phone up. I don't take my hand off the phone till I have prayed for you. Now, I may pray for you after that, but I don't want to be embarrassed next time. So as I'm praying, I say, oh, blessed sister, what's her name? God, you can help me remember to pray for her later on today. So when she comes up and she goes, I'm healed. I can go, yeah, I did that. Real Christ followers not only speak authentically, they honor giftings. Not just the gifting that God has put in you, but that's important. You need to use the gifts that God has... You need to use the gifts that God has put in you. But you need to honor the gifts of the people around you by developing team with them and doing things with them. You need to honor that. If you're going to have a quality life rather than a disposable life, you're going to have a deep, authentic life rather than a superficial life, then you need to honor the gifts that you have had. What good is it for me to say, I have the gift of prophecy, I just never prophesy? Right? I have the gift of tongues, but I just never speak in tongues. I have the gift of healing, but I just never visit the sick. Right? I have the gift of preaching, but I never come to church. I have the gift of exhortation, but I don't like people. What good are those gifts? Right? So honor the gift that God has put in you. You say, I don't think I have any gifts. Well, you're absolutely wrong. You just haven't discovered your real gift on the inside. And God's not going to reveal that to you until you start looking. Honor the gifts in other people as well. Real Christians, real Christ followers, live from the inside out. You can tell if you have a person's, you can tell if you have Christ's heart for people by the way you treat other people. Now, all of us need to grow in this. Pastor Mike was absolutely right on that verse of scripture that God is love. Not just that he behaves lovingly, but that his character is love. And God pours his love into us. And we have to reach out. We have to live from that inside out rather than what people see on the outside. We have to live from the inside. There has to be authenticity on the inside of our heart, because there's two prophets and two miracle workers and two houses. But only one of each of those will last. Fourth thing, real Christ followers know their limitations. They know that they have to relax occasionally. They can't drive themselves and push themselves so long. So they have to take time for themselves to rest. They have to pull away and say, this is important. You realize in this society that we live in that we're so superficial that even our rest is superficial. Right? We're resting, but we're not really resting because we're doing other things. Did you get a chance to relax today? Oh, yeah, I was paying bills online. Really? That's your relaxation. What a hobby. Did you get a chance to just sit and vegetate and stare off into space and do nothing? Contemplate your navel, clean the stuff out of the inside of there. You know, all that kind of stuff. Did you get a chance to do that? That's resting. Fifth thing. Real Christ followers are unmoved by fads in modern culture. Paul Grant wrote a book called Blessed Are the Uncool. And he writes this. Cool is not innocent. Cool is the sunglasses we wear so people don't see we are lonely, frightened, or ashamed. It can alienate us from community and family and God. So it's okay to not be moved by the things that people think are trendy. You don't have to be a total dork, but you have to at some point recognize that you have limitations. And so if we're going to be real, we have to not fall prey to the cultural fads that are calling our name out there. Some people say, well, I just got to be true to my inner self. Oh, your inner self changes every 20 days. What you think is cool, this, you know, you think it's this, and then you think it's that. And we were marveling last night looking at shark skin suits are coming back. You know, the shiny one, you know, shark skin. They're coming back. Why? Who liked them? What's next, the Nehru jacket? Most people don't know what a Nehru jacket is. Real Christ followers shoot for joy. Real Christ followers shoot for joy. See, joy is living out of the center of your life, a God-centered life of service, living by priority, living by obedience to another's heart. See, some people will say, oh, to be true to yourself, you really have to listen to your own heart. But that's not what Christians say, or shouldn't say. To be true to yourself, you really have to listen to another's heart, God's heart. And by adapting God's heart, then you know your heart will be purified in the process. Of course, you know your heart is completely and totally untrustworthy. So you know your heart will lead you astray. Given every opportunity, it will always take you down the wrong path. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. So knowing that, then I have to tune into the Father's heart, the heart of Christ. And if I listen to that heart, it will take me along that path and lead me to a place where I can find joy. I find my joy in making my Father happy. And it's just amazing that we fail to do this so often in our life. Somebody says, but I just really want to be happy. If you really want to be happy, don't shoot for happiness. Shoot for joy. Live a Christ-centered life. Obedience to Christ. And happiness will come along the way. Because you'll learn, hey, I get to be happy while I'm shooting for joy. If you need to remember what joy is, Jesus others you. J-O-Y. Jesus others you. Shoot for pleasing Jesus first, others second, yourself last. If you live your life by that, you'll find joy. The final thing is, real Christ followers understand community. We understand that there's a need for fellowship. I need to be with my friends, my family, my loved ones, my church. I need those people. I don't live as an island. I understand community. I live in community. I share griefs and joys with people around me. I share strengths and weaknesses with people around me, and I live in that. I've demonstrated all this to say that there's a difference between the shallowness that the world settles for and the high quality of the invisible pie that I'm holding in my hand right now. God has something just as intangible, just as something you can't see, but it's for your life. It's a high quality life. And you're settling for McPie. And it's McTragedy. It is. Because our McFaith cannot get us to heaven. McFaith cannot lead us to Jesus, and it cannot certainly lead other people to Jesus. But real, authentic people who love God is the hunger and the cry of the world and the people who sit next to you in your office. We saw the other night Fireproof, the movie Fireproof. One line struck me. Say what you want to about Caleb. Or say what you want to about whatever guy's name. I can't remember that guy's name. No, not Caleb. The other guy. What was the black lieutenant? What was his name? Michael. Say what you want about him. We both know he's the real deal. Right? See, the world is looking for someone who is the real deal. We're going to turn from this place and walk out the doors, collect our children, go off into our world, go 60,000 different directions in our life. But as we leave here, people are paying attention. And they're looking for someone who is authentic. At my funeral, I want somebody to stand up over my casket and say these words: "He was the real deal." Isn't that what you want someone to say about you? But there are times in my life when I'm inauthentic, disingenuous, superficial. Only God can make you and I the real deal.
Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope you were blessed by it. If there's a way we can help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd love to do that. You can contact us at www.irwinag.org.